Assalamu alaikum and welcome back. So, we spoke just before the break about al-urfi marriage. Is when a man marries a woman with the approval and consent of her guardian. So all the conditions and all the pillars of marriage are fulfilled. Then why do we call it urfi? Because it is not registered in the government. So what is the ruling on this marriage? The marriage is complete and intact and valid. However, it is not recommended. Why? Islamically, it's correct, true. But Islam also looks after the welfare of the woman and her children. Sometimes such a marriage takes place. They have children. 2-3 years later, the man flees the country. And she's not divorced. And she has children. She goes to complain to the government or to the embassy. She has no documentation to prove that. So this Islam tries its level best to protect the woman and her welfare and the welfare of her children. That has all the pillars, all the conditions fulfilled. The problem is that it's not registered officially. Islamically is sound and correct, but we do not recommend it because Islam cares about the women and the children. And if not registered in the government, then men could just simply run away and she would be hanging without any rights. The second type of urfi marriage, which is widely known among the people in some Muslim countries, Arab countries, is the marriage that takes place without the knowledge of people. And this usually happens in universities. When a woman or a girl goes to mixed universities, which is haram in Islam, and they're having mixed classes, etc., the inevitable happens. Man likes girl, girl likes boy. So they meet, they go to classes, and then they know that financially they're unable to get married, and their parents would not approve of them getting married before finishing. So he goes to her and says, listen, you love me, I love you, we love each other, so let's marry. She said, but we don't have any wali, any guardian to give me in marriage to you. He says, khalas, Allah is our wali. Okay, what witnesses? Allah is our witness. So they get married, so they think, and they live with each other. This is not marriage. This is zina. This is boyfriend-girlfriend scenario. And this is one of the major sins in Islam. They call it urfi because nobody knows about it except their friends in college and school. The father doesn't know. Maybe the mother knows, but the guardian does not give his approval, so they bypass him and do this. Another marriage is known as al-misyar, and this appeared lately in Arabia, where a married person is interested in marrying another woman, but he is unable to financially support her, or he cannot make it public because his wife would divorce him or would make problems for her. So he marries in secrecy from his wife. And he tells his second wife that I will not be dividing a night here and a night there because then my first wife will kill me. So I will only come at certain times of the day. What is the ruling on this? Again, scholars have different opinions. The most authentic opinion is that if the intention of the two parties is just to have fun and to marry for the sake of sexual intercourse, etc., this is not permissible. But if their intention is that this period is temporary until he's able to furnish a house or provide a house for her, or until he can break the news easily to his wife, this is permissible, especially when the need is there. If a woman has certain and specific circumstances in her life, such as a woman who's 35 or 40 years of age, she's living with her parents or with one of them who's critically ill and needs someone to take care, and there's no one to take care of the mother or the father except this woman. And she's eager to get married, but she cannot get married and leave her father or mother. In her case, such a marriage would be excellent because it fulfills her natural needs and also gives her time to take care of her father or mother or whatever circumstances she has. Likewise, a man who is unable to marry a second wife publicly because his wife would go insane or would kill him or would do something or would demand divorce, and he has children, but he has the need to get married again. And this is natural. So for him, this scenario would fit, providing that he's sincerely interested in marrying a correct marriage, not temporary and not for the sake of playing around. In this case, inshallah, it is permissible. We open the floor for any questions, if you have any. Yes.
Assalamu alaikum, Sheikh.
Salaam.
In this case, if anyone does not know about his second marriage, and if a person dies, how the wealth is distributed among the wife and the children, because the second wife is not known to anyone?
What you do not know of, Allah would not burden you. If a person dies having a second family, a wife and children, and the main family, the first wife and children, do not know anything about this. If he dies, it is the responsibility of the second wife and the children to go and introduce themselves and tell them that this man is our father, this man is my husband. But if they don't do this, the first family has no burden or sin on them because they don't know. They think that their husband or the head of the family died. They didn't know that he was married again. Now, if this was discovered 2-3 years afterwards, and after distributing the inheritance, 2-3 years later, they discover, oh, he had another wife and children. Those who took their inheritance, they must bring it back and to be divided again equally to the two wives and the three wives or four wives and the children, who, no matter how many. And that is why it is essential to publicly announce a person's marriage. In Islam, secret marriage is not permissible. When Aisha, may Allah be pleased with her, came back, and the Prophet said, where were you? And she said that I was in a wedding. And he said, did you have some entertainment, nasheed, duf? And he instructed that weddings should also be publicized by duf. When you're in a house and you hear the duf being played and women chanting, or you see signs of jubilation and happiness, what would you say? What is this? And they say, it's a marriage of so-and-so to so-and-so. So this makes it public. This is what Islam promotes. Yes, brother.
We see nowadays people go for multiple marriages for fancy and for satisfying their personal desires. I mean, rather than the Prophet married for certain purpose. Can you elaborate, please?
What you see is people are marrying for
fancy, for the personal desire, you know, for...
Okay. First of all, no one marries for a reason that does not relate to desire. No one marries because, wallah, this family is good, I'm going to get married to them. I don't care if their daughter is black or white, short or tall, ugly or beautiful. I'm just wanting to be related. No one does this. Whenever you marry, you choose something that would fulfill your desires. Plus, if she's coming from a noble family, that's a plus. And if she is beautiful, oh, excellent. And if she's rich, you've got it made. And if she's practicing and knows the Quran and Hafiz, and she knows Bukhari and Muslim and a student of knowledge, this is from paradise, direct, coming down to you. Usually you will not find someone with all of this. So it is permissible to marry, and you are permitted to have reasons behind your marriage. And that is why the Prophet says, a woman is married for four reasons: for her lineage, for her nobility, for her beauty, for her wealth. And in one of the narrations, the Prophet said, nobility and lineage is the same, for her religion, religious practice. And the Prophet says, get the one with the religious practice, otherwise your hands would be dusted, as if you don't have anything. So there's no problem in marrying a woman for something that you desire. But the Islam channels it and tells you, marry the one who has the religious commitment as a priority. If these things follow, alhamdulillah. But if not, then you have gained what would fix and help you in life. Any questions?
So we know today that there's no trust between people. So for a man to, if he wants to marry a righteous woman, can he keep her spy so that she means to see if she is truly a righteous woman or not? because in front of him, the woman and her family may act like a hypocrite. Like, they may be too righteous in front of him, but behind the back, they may do all the haram things. Can we keep a spy that, so that we come
to... Spy? Ah, okay. So the question of the brother is, if I'm interested in marrying a woman, can I hire a private investigator to go and check their garbage and to put cameras so that I would know exactly what's happening? Allah says in the Quran, وَلَا تَجَسَّسُوا Surah Al-Hujurat. Do not spy on one another. Allah Azza wa Jal ordered us to judge people by what appears from them. So if I go and speak to the family and they look okay, I investigate and everybody's saying that they're okay and giving me plus signs. MashaAllah, everything is fine. It is forbidden for me to go and spy on them. And I would also reverse this. How would you feel if they send someone to spy on you? How would you feel if they send someone, not even to spy on you? If on the spot, her father tells you, open your laptop. Let me see your mobile phone. Let me go into your PDA and check your album. Let me check your Facebook account. How would you feel? You would not accept this, would you? Would any of you? Everyone has secrets. Not that you're doing sin, but no one wants to allow people to look into his own private things. So Islam totally prohibits spying. It totally prohibits doubting the intention. Sometimes you speak with someone and he says, no, you intended this. And you have this ill thoughts in you. How do you know the ghaib? Does anyone know the unseen? And that is why the Prophet ﷺ was very angry with Usama ibn Zayd when he was fighting a kafir in war. And this kafir killed so many Muslims. And as they were having this duel and they were battling, the kafir went to a corner and then he was cornered. And he knew that he's going to be killed. So he said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah. And Usama killed him. And the Prophet was outraged, was very angry. You killed him. You killed him after he said, La ilaha illallah. He said, Prophet of Allah, we're in battle. He killed so many Muslims. It's not a random thing. We are fighting. When he felt that I'm going to kill him, he said, La ilaha illallah. Definitely you and I believe that. He did this only to protect himself. Isn't that true? Yet the Prophet said, what will you do with La ilaha illallah on the Day of Judgment? You're not allowed to look into his heart. You're allowed to only judge what appears to you in the exterior. That is why it is totally prohibited for you to spy. This is all the time we have until we meet next time. Fi amanillah. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.